Today's passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 to 34, and you can find that on page 1635 of the church Bibles. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat. For when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and others get drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this manner. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ and eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in any judgment. And when I come, I will give you further directions.
Thanks, Arthur. Well, please leave your Bibles open there. Just going to say apologies about the mustache. It's for book week. It's trying to be inclusive at school. I'm trying to be Ted Lasso. It's a show on Apple TV. Good show, actually. But anyway, I'm not saying you should watch that show. I'm just saying it's a good show. Anyway, sorry if it's off-putting. I was going to get rid of it, but I was at a camp out, and Henry said he liked it, so I thought, no, I'm owning it. I'm going to take that. Anyway, let's pray that God help us to understand his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way it encourages us. Thank you for the way it warns us. Father, please help us to understand this passage. Please help us to know that if we trust in Jesus, we belong to him and to his people. Father, help us know that we're not individuals, but we're part of a body. And Father, we pray all of these things in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder if you've ever had an awkward church experience. You might be having it right now. Maybe. Sorry, again, mustache could be part of that. I remember one from about 20 years ago. My Bible study group had gone camping. There was a guy called Jason. Some of you might know him. He's that guy there. A guy called Pete and a guy called Glenn. And we were camping in a national park around Tenerfield. It was really great. But on the Sunday, on the way back to Lismore, we decided to go to a local church. It didn't really look like this, but that might help you to picture it. It was pretty small. I think there was 10 people there, and there was four of us, so our presence was pretty obvious. And one of the first songs that we sung together was "Standing on the Promises of God." The challenge was that there was a guy in the service singing really loudly and really off-key, just like if I was singing loudly, you would hear that. It was pretty bad. Anyway, Jason noticed this, and as the dad of the group, he started giving Peter and myself a dirty look. He thought that we were being really silly. Now, in his defense, that's quite possible, but we also had a sense of time and place. You know, there's a time and place for things. And the moment that Jason realised that it wasn't Peter or I singing, but in fact someone from that congregation, he let out with kind of like a laugh that was kind of like a whole body laughter, just like kind of cackled himself out loud. Now, you know, you're in that situation where you think, I'm not meant to laugh right now, but I can't hold it in. I don't know if you've been in that situation. You think, I'm not meant to laugh right now, but I just can't hold it in. Well, we all started laughing. And you know what the church did? They stopped the song. And they said, what's wrong? Jason came up with some lame excuse. We went home alive instead of in the back of a boot that a farmer could have just kind of buried us somewhere in a field. I remember it vividly. It was 20 years ago. It was bad. Anyway. I'm not sure if you can relate to that, but I'm sure you all have your own awkward church experience. The two go hand in hand together. Anyway, imagine this afternoon, imagine a big yellow school bus rocked up outside, and imagine it was a magical school bus. Imagine we could all go, right, everyone, we're all going on the magical school bus, file out the front door there, and we all hop on, and out the front, there's someone driving, Ryan might be driving, and there's a setting, and we get to choose the setting. We're going to go back in history, we're going to go back to 54 AD, and we're choosing Greece, and we're choosing Corinth, and we're going to go to ancient Corinth. And we're going to go to one of the house churches that's kind of part of the Corinthian church. And friends, if we did that magical school bus thing and went to one of their churches, I don't think we'd just have an awkward experience like, where are you guys from? It wouldn't be kind of like that. I think if we went back, we would have a bad church experience. I think the Corinthians would make us feel like we don't belong in God's people. They would leave us out of the Lord's Supper. Friends, as we dig into a bad church experience this afternoon, hopefully it's going to give us a chance to think, a chance to reflect, a chance to think about how we treat Jesus' body, how we treat Jesus' people. Well, please have your Bibles open there. Our first point this afternoon is a bad church experience. Let's pick it up from verse 17. It says this: in the following directives, I have no praise for you. Your meetings do more harm than good. Last week, Paul was pretty happy with how the Corinthians were following the things that he'd passed on to them. But in the issue he's about to address, he has no praise for God's people. In fact, their gatherings do more harm than good. Hebrews chapter 10 encourages us to meet together as God's people, to prioritize that, to do all that we can to get together. But Paul's saying, you know what? Maybe you guys shouldn't get together. Your gatherings actually do more harm than good. Well, friends, let's keep digging in. Let's see what the problem is here. Let's pick it up from verse 18. It says this: in the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. The first thing that Paul notes that's wrong is that there's actually divisions amongst God's people. He's heard reports, and while he might not believe everything that's being said, he at least believes some of it. And I think these divisions are different from the ones that were mentioned all the way back in chapter 1. You know, in chapter 1, it's talking about some follow Paul, some follow Apollos, some follow Christ, some follow Peter. Well, these divisions are different to that, but maybe they're related. I think Paul's talking about divisions based on people and what they have. These divisions are based on the haves and the have-nots. God's people are being divided along class lines. And in verse 19, there's this funny phrase: there are differences in God's people to show which of them have God's approval. The rich and the wealthy, they might have thought that they were worthy of lots of glory and honor, even from God. But we're about to find out that that is really not the case. The problem that this text is really addressing is the way that the Corinthian church is celebrating the Lord's Supper. In fact, in verse 20, Paul says the way that they do the Lord's Supper means that they're actually not celebrating the Lord's Supper at all. Verse 21 describes the problem. There seems to be division between the rich and the poor. It could be that the rich don't have to work, and so they go ahead and they start the meal early. And so by the time the workers and the slaves rock up, there's no food left. The rich people have gorged themselves and now they're drunk. Or it could be that the food is being distributed differently, so that everyone rocks up at the same time, but based on your social standing, they get different amounts of food and different quality of food. In a Roman house, so the Roman houses would have been in Corinth. Remember, the church would have met in house churches. And the dining room in a kind of classic house could have only handled about 9 people. And everyone else have to sit outside. And so the distinguished guests, they come into church and they're kind of filed in to the dining room. Everyone else is outside, sitting in the sun. And the people in the dining room, they get all the good stuff. Everyone else outside, they just get the scraps, basically. Paul says in verse 22 that if your primary motivation is for this meal is filling up, is eating lots of food and drink, do that at home. Don't humiliate God's people during the Lord's Supper. Don't humiliate those who are poor. Now, this is really important as they celebrate the Lord's Supper, because this meal, it's meant to show that they're united together. Let's pick it up from verse 23. It says this: "For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" You might recognize these words from the Lord's Supper. Normally, we use the words from the Gospel of Luke. This version is slightly different, but that's not the important thing here. Paul is reminding the Corinthians of what the Lord's Supper is all about. It's about remembering that Jesus was handed over, that he died on the cross. It's about eating the bread that represents Jesus' body being broken. It's about drinking the cup that represents Jesus' blood being spilled for us. Paul says in verse 26 that whenever the Corinthians celebrate the Lord's Supper, they're proclaiming the Lord's death until he returns. They're remembering that only Jesus' death, only his blood can pay for our sin. They're remembering that all of us, regardless of class, are all poor beggars who need bread. They're remembering that together they form a community united around Jesus, a community that should love and serve each other just like Jesus has loved and served us. But the problem in this passage is the way the people are celebrating the Lord's Supper. They're not celebrating it as a community centered around Jesus. They're celebrating this meal as a meal centered around themselves. Well, some of them anyway. Now, I'm not sure if you've heard of the word meta-communication before. It's the idea that the way you do something actually matters. So if you're giving a speech about loving someone and you're not doing it in a very loving way, well, that's kind of a mismatch. That's not having the correct meta-communication for what you're trying to say. Sometimes people at weddings or funerals forget that. And they forget that most of us are really good at picking up on this. They'll say, "Oh, this is about so-and-so, Bob, you're such a great bloke." And for the next 30 minutes, they'll just talk about themselves and how great they are. I missed a family wedding a few years ago. It was down south. And according to my brother, I didn't miss much. In fact, he reckons he lost 3 hours of his life that he's never getting back. Because the father of the bride spoke for about 30 minutes. And the way that he communicated all of that, he communicated that was actually all about him. And not his daughter, or not the son-in-law. It was all about him. Sometimes we forget that meta-communication matters. The Corinthians are celebrating the Lord's Supper in a way that communicates that they're actually not a body of Christ. The way they're celebrating the meal says it's about them, rather than the body of believers. Well, friends, how can we ensure that the Lord's Supper here at Willows is inclusive of all the Christians in the room? Now, I think many of you know that each time we do the Lord's Supper, when we say it from the front, we say it slightly differently, but we also say it very similarly. And it's similar on purpose, because each time there's a real sense that we want to communicate the same things. We want it to be super clear what we're doing so that everyone feels comfortable, so that everyone knows what's going on. Even though it might feel like a drag saying, yes, you say this every time, we're doing it to love others so that they know exactly what is going on. Conducting the Lord's Supper in a way that is confusing goes against the idea of being inclusive to all those who believe. And I think some churches really need to think about that. Particularly Anglican ones. Anyway, I didn't say that out loud. We also want to make sure that everyone is included when we do it here. So we make sure that the servers go to everyone. We make sure there's a gluten-free option. We make sure that those watching online can participate in the Lord's Supper, because many of those people actually cannot come to church anymore. They're too sick or too old. We make sure that children can participate in it. We don't want to exclude anyone from the beautiful reminder that the Lord's Supper is. It proclaims Jesus' death until he returns. Friends, we want to get the Lord's Supper right here at Willows. And so if you think we do something that inhibits other believers from participating in this meal, well then please come and talk to us about that. We really want to listen to you. Friends, it's super important that we celebrate the Lord's Supper in a way that includes all the body of believers. Because if we don't, it will bring punishment on us in the here and now. And honestly, I don't think we want that. Friends, our first point has been about a bad church experience. Okay, what's happening in Corinth with the Lord's Supper? Our second point is really about the punishment that flows on from that. Let's pick it up from verse 27. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. Paul is saying we need to be super careful as we eat the Lord's Supper together. Because if we get it wrong, we'll actually bring judgment on ourselves. The people in Corinth are getting sick and falling asleep. That doesn't mean like the head wobbles. That means dead. We need to be careful that we eat in the right way, not in an unworthy manner. We need to examine ourselves. And all of this seems to center around eating and drinking in a way that discerns the body. And I think Paul's doing a little wordplay in verse 29 about the body. The Corinthians need to realize that when they celebrate the Lord's Supper, it's not just a normal meal. It's a meal that was specifically given by Jesus so that we can remember what he did for us. But more than that, as we remember the body, we need to eat this meal not as individuals, but we need to eat this meal as a body of believers, a group of people who are united to Jesus by trusting in him. And so we need to be careful not to exclude other believers. We need to recognize that we're all part of the one body in Christ. So examining yourself doesn't so much mean confessing all your sin or something like that before you partake of the Lord's Supper. It's more about, am I acting in a way that includes all the body of believers as I participate in this meal? Or am I excluding some people? Maybe I should reflect on that. Maybe I should examine myself as I do that. And friends, because the Corinthians are getting this wrong, God has been punishing them. They've been getting sick and they've been dying. I don't know how you feel about that. Personally, I feel a little bit strange about that. I don't really want that to be true. I think I don't want that to be true because I know that I'm a sinner and I don't really want God punishing me in the here and now for that. I think I'm uncomfortable with that because I've heard some terrible stories where people might be diagnosed with cancer and Christians have said to that person, the only reason you have cancer is because you have unrepentant sin in your life. What a terrible thing to say to someone. I also think of Ananias and Sapphira, a husband and a wife. You can read about in Acts 5. They lied to Peter about how much money they got for selling a field. And you know what happened to them? They dropped dead right there and then. But I actually think that's a unique situation. It happens as the church is actually starting to form. It's getting its foundation. So I think it's a bit of a unique situation. But Corinthians is a few years on from that event. So what happens in Corinthians, I think that applies to us today. So there's a real sense for believers that as we sin, or maybe as we continue in sin, that the Lord will bring some sort of judgment on us in the here and the now. And it might be a natural consequence for the thing we're doing. So for the Corinthians, if they were eating too much food and drinking too much wine, maybe the punishment relates to that. But maybe it doesn't. Friends, that's a bit scary, isn't it? It's scary, but we shouldn't think of our Heavenly Father as like some sort of evil tyrant. He's actually a great Father. Let's pick up from verse 32. It says this: "Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world." Paul is saying that the point of this judgment is discipline. It'll help his people, God's people, to turn from sin. It'll help us to repent and say sorry to God. Our Heavenly Father disciplines us so that we'll not ultimately fall away from him and be condemned with the rest of the world who don't trust in Jesus. And friends, Paul finishes this section in verses 33 and 34, which aren't on the screen, by saying, be mindful of each other. He's saying, if you're hungry, have something at home before you come to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Remember to operate as a body and not as an individual. Now, I should just point out something that's kind of a bit of a difference. We don't necessarily celebrate the Lord's Supper exactly like they used to. When they used to celebrate the Lord's Supper, they'd do it as a whole meal. We more do it like a symbolic meal. But you know what? Maybe we should, I'm not saying I can do this, but maybe we should celebrate the Lord's Supper next week and then go into a full-scale meal. Maybe that's something we should think about doing in the future, combining the Lord's Supper with a bigger meal, because that's what they did back in Corinth. That's something to ponder. Friends, I can remember getting disciplined a fair bit as a child. You might find that hard to believe. You might find it hard to believe that I was a bit loose when I was a child. I remember thinking that my parents were jerks, actually, when they wouldn't let me do something or that they punished me for certain things. On my 14th birthday, I did something that meant that I got grounded for a month. I never had a teenage birthday party ever again. And just to clarify, it wasn't crashing our car into the side of the wall and trying to cover it up. It wasn't that bad, maybe. It depends on my parents. Anyway, I used to think that my parents were jerks. But now I can see that they were actually really loving and that I was the jerk. And it's taken me time to work that out and time to reflect. And having teenage children has helped me to really understand how that works. God is not an evil father. He wants what's best for us. He wants us to keep trusting in Jesus. And sometimes that'll mean punishing us for our sin, but to bring us back into relationship with him, to bring us close back to him. Now, friends, I think we need to be super careful the next time something bad happens to us. The next time something bad happens to us, we need to stop and think, is there anything that I need to repent of? And there might be. So if there is, do that. But we also need to know that we live in a fallen and broken world. And so because of our rejection of God, sometimes messed up stuff happens in this world. Sickness happens, death happens. But we also need to acknowledge that God is in control of all the things that happen in this world. But not everything that happens to us is to punish us. Friends, sometimes we'll never know why certain things happen to us. But when bad things happen, we should stop, reflect, and pray. Well, friends, the issue that Paul's been dealing with here is the fact that the church in Corinth is not being mindful of each other as they celebrate the Lord's Supper. They need to review and change this practice as the Lord is already judging them for it. Friends, we need to make sure that we celebrate the Lord's Supper in a way that recognizes Jesus' body, his sacrifice, and also his people, that we're part of a body. But friends, how might this idea of loving the body play out in other areas of church life? Now, as we consider some other areas, they might be of a different level of significance, because these things I'm about to talk about are not necessarily celebrating the Lord's Supper. So they might be, a bit different. But they also may not be as well, because these things are, again, against the body of believers. Well, friends, how can we love each other well here at Willows? And it's probably a little bit different based on the different service that people might go to. Well, one of the ways that we can love each other here at church is maybe by not rushing off straight after the service. If you can hang around, you probably should. Being part of the body means more than just turning up on Sunday for the least amount of time as possible. It's about loving and serving others. Another way to really love the people here at church is to prioritize your day around meeting with God's people. Don't put family dinners on directly after church. Give yourself time to mingle with the wider church family. In places like North Queensland, families can cause divisions and special groups within churches just as much as anything else can. Maybe the next time we have a meal, next week, maybe you should plan to come. Think about your week. How can I actually make that a priority so I can actually go to church and go to the meal and hang out with the believers and try and encourage them? Plan to bring some noodles along. Don't eat all the good stuff. Be mindful of others. Friends, keep thinking, how can I love others? At 6 p.m., we've got some real thinking to do. I know this is not 6 p.m., this is 4:15, but at 6 p.m., we've got some real thinking to do about after-dinner stuff. What do? We go to Grilled every week. It costs like $20 for a burger. A uni student can't really afford that. How do we do that in a way that's helpful? If you've got any ways that we might be able to do that, talk to me after the service. I can share them the next sermon. Anyway, but talk to me about that. It's hard trying to work all that stuff out. But friends, whatever we do, we should do it all for the glory of God. Whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, you should lay down your life for others, just like Jesus laid down his life for us. Friends, being a Christian isn't about being an individual. It's about being part of a body, being part of Jesus' body. Let's pray that we'd recognize that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the great reminder of what Jesus has done for us. That he was handed over, that he was betrayed, that his body was broken for us, that his blood was spilled for us. Father, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper in the future, help us, Father, to be aware of the body, of what Jesus has done for us, but also of his people, the people that we're united to. Father, in all of our church life, help us to be mindful, help us to be thoughtful, help us to think about how we can love others and not love ourselves. Father, please be with us, because this is really hard. Help us to look to Jesus. Father, please by your Spirit work in us so that we are like him. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.